She took it from me, huh?
Well, yeah.
All right. If you want to turn over to Revelation 17 and verse 1 in your study guide, we'll get started there in a minute. And remember our country and the world and the mess that we're in right now, all because of greed. Greed, that is the reason. That's the whole subject behind it. When I was over there in those lands over 25 years ago, they wanted us out of there and our oil interests, and they didn't want to have anything that we had to offer them. They wanted us out of those countries. Mm-hmm. We were changing their lives, and they didn't want their wives influenced by it and their children influenced. And they have got very serious right now. They're fighting very hard for what they believe is wrong. But they're dying, and they're killing us now. Over what they believe in those countries. And if you were over there and you saw that, they don't want our complicated Western civilization. They want their little simple little Bedouin lives. And one, the great damning quality that we have is because we haven't got out and let their lives alone like they want it, because of the greed for what they have and the property that they have. But the worst than that is that our Christianity is so low as a country that's supposed to be one nation under God. The TV programs and things that are going into these homes over there, these people are so ungodly that they think that we're the devil. And they're willing to murder every one of us because we're nothing as far as they're concerned, because of the influence that we have. That ought to really shame us as Christian people, so-called. Our influence ought to be better than that in the world. It's the morally so bad that they think that we're the devil.
As long as I've had a Taliban on the internet, they outlawed all TVs and VCRs in their country.
Yes.
Trying to keep us out.
Yeah. They don't want it. Their women are veiled, their children, they don't want to hear the blasphemous things that come out of the mouths of our young singers and all the things that we have in this country that is so commonplace in our homes. What a mess. We're going to have to answer for a lot of that. We really are. Our influence ought to be better than that. But we have got people that are killers that are going to kill us and have killed innocent people. And there's a lot of innocent lives out there. I just pray and I hope that a lot of those people in those buildings were saved and they're with the Lord now. You know, those Muslims that flew those airplanes into them, they were going in there praying and saying they're right coming to the presence of God, and they woke up in hell. Their theology got straightened out instantly. But it's still there. I pray that our influence is stronger than those people, and we have a stronger influence over there and even with the leaders of our nation and the acting of this thing.
The people I work with, they think the war is going over there and just going to war is going to change things, or vengeance and all that stuff. And I tell them, you guys better be close to God.
How long ago did I start teaching the book of Revelation then? A year and a half ago or something? When I said in the very beginning of it, I said the thing that would draw all nations to the Middle East was what?
Oil.
Oil. The lust of that money and that property. I don't care how many lives I have to risk to hold on to those things that are going to do it. And you know what? God said it would happen 3,000-4,000 years ago. That is what is going to draw. It's like a magnet. It's going to draw, and we see it, don't we? I mean, how much more? What do we need to jar us in the reality that this is what's going to go over there, and that's just what's going to draw the people to that last great battleground. That was the cradle of humanity, and it's going to be the burial ground of humanity in that place. That's what's going to happen over there in that country. And God, even in the ages past, when he allowed Satan to destroy this earth as it was originally created, and placed those mineral deposits and oil deposits in those countries, God could see, he knew all that would happen, and he allowed it. And even all the evil that we see that's taking place in the world, God is like, he likes to set riverbanks with man's thoughts and ways. He guides us with his unpreventable progress and his eternal purpose to just make things go just exactly like a highway or a riverbank. That's the way it goes. Brother Don, would you lead us in prayer? And we'll get into the study of God's Word.
God, we thank you that you are on the throne, and it doesn't matter how the kings rage and nations rise up against you. Lord, you sit in heaven and have them in derision. We thank you, Father, that you are sovereign and that you are our God. We thank you for the revelation you've given us. And we ask tonight, Lord, that you would make our minds keen to take in what Brother Jim has to teach us. Help us to understand your words, so we may apply it first diligently to our own hearts, and then use it as a weapon in the spiritual battle as we win souls for you and encourage one another in faith. Help us, Lord, not to be vengeful people, but be mindful of the need of every soul for whom Christ died. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Revelation 17, verse 1. We actually went over verse 1 last week, but we're going to do it again. What I do is I read from the original language, from Greek. You kind of repeat after me and follow me, and you'll learn by doing that. The alphabet in Greek is a lot like English. Our English came right out of Greek. So many of our words, so much of your English language is Greek, and you'll find out how much. It's not really, you just have to learn where it came from, more than anything. And you'll understand this. I'll try to bring it out to you, and I'll give you the history of the words and the theology, and I'll try to teach all of this to you at once and cover it as well as I do by the grace of God. What we have here in Revelation, the 17th chapter, we have the great harlot, the great prostitute, and the beast that are spoken of. The great harlot is the Adamic religious system of the world that has existed ever since the first man made religion. And what was that? What? The first man made religion. We have it very early in Cain. Cain and Abel. Alright. God has allowed false religion to coexist with the truth. He hasn't completely cut it off. He's allowed false religion to compete and to go along with the truth all down through the ages. And now he's going to judge false religion all at once. False religion always persecutes truth. Through the Dark Ages, when the Catholic Church was in power, Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million believers. That's truth. That's historical facts. Between Rome, the Roman Empire, and the Catholic Church, which became the Holy Roman Empire, 50 to 100 million people died defending what they were given by God, the faith once and for all delivered to the saints, to his churches. Now, this ungodly system has coexisted with the truth all the time. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he founded one religion in time of old. Who was the first adherent to God's religion? No. Well, Abel. All right, Abel would believe in salvation by grace, and he followed God's instruction book that he had given. All right? He says, this is what you do, this is what you do to believe, and this is how you come to me. And it was faith in the blood of an innocent animal that died for the sins of that man. Which was typifying who? Christ's coming. What did Cain do to Abel? Did he get along with him fine? Did he just let him go on and do his own thing? What happened? Cain killed him. That's the first thing. Now just trace it all the way down through history. And here's the culmination of it right here. We have the rapture of the Lord's churches and the saved at the, and I've got one in chart 42, at the beginning of the tribulation period. They're taken up with God. There's a marriage feast going on up there all the time. The tribulation period is going on the earth. And down on the earth, all havoc breaks loose. The greatest, and I'll tell you something right now, you have got the best time to witness to people about Christ that has ever existed in your life. Our church was full this last Sunday. But I found out about this war thing the other morning when I walked in. I think it was Saturday morning, wasn't it? Last Saturday, or whenever it was. No, Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning. I walked in the house. I was out working in the yard. I walked in the house. I said, the church's going to be full Sunday. That's what I said, wasn't it? Before I told you, I said, the church house is going to be full Sunday. I said, you wouldn't believe what's going on. I said, the churches are going to be full. All right? You know, when the flood came, when Noah built the ark, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. All right? When God shut the door after the ark was finished, how long did Noah preach?
100 years.
120 years. He had just a few converts that got on the boat. God shut the door, and justice and judgment came. They had never seen it rain before. They had never seen it flood like that. But when the floods came, there was a great revival outside the ark. Mm-hmm. Believing people, believing. But it was too late. Mm-hmm. At the rapture, same thing's going to take place. The moment that the rapture takes place, there's going to be a gigantic revival sweeping the earth. Because they're going to believe finally. Many people are going to believe, but what happens then to them? They're going to believe in the truth. And the Antichrist is going to be in power, and he's going to put all of his wrath. We have false religion against truth again. And many of them will die. Most of them will die. You can't. We've got the Mormons stocking up enough food and money and everything for 7 years of famine or whatever. Some of them have been good. Because this world system is going to take it away from them. People say only gold and silver. You're not going to be able to buy anything. You better put your money into hard, real money. Gold and silver. Gold and silver won't buy one speck of wheat. Won't one loaf of bread. It can't be bought. Because the mark of the beast, you have to have your credit card to buy it. He will control the world by his mark. Not going to do any good, is it? But people are going to die by the hundreds and by the millions during that period of time for the truth. As we see it on earth, because false religion will not coexist with truth. False religion always persecutes and tries to destroy truth. I'm teaching on Sunday night, right here at 4:30, the prophetic parables of Matthew 13. What, those of you that started the class, what do the prophetic parables teach?
Prophecy of the church.
The prophecy of the church age. What would happen during the church age from the time the Lord came and established the assembly until he takes it back again? The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seed in his field. Well, who do you think that sower was? Jesus. All right, he went forth and he sowed truth and seed in the field. And what happened that night? The enemy went out and sowed tares or false wheat in the field. And what did Jesus say? He said, that the servant said, let us go out there and rip up those tares and get them out of there and just take them out. And he said, what? Leave them alone. Leave them alone. You might disturb the real wheat. Just leave them alone. And when the harvest comes, I'll gather those tares together and burn them. And this is the burning of the tares right here in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. The harvest has come. God got his wheat out of there. And he bound the tares together, and now comes judgment on false religious system. And we have a prophecy in the New Testament. During the same, a parable of the prophecy of judgment. What parable was that? The parable of the fig tree. The fig tree. Here's a fig tree. This stands for two things. One for Israel and one for false religion, because Israel had become a false religious system, hadn't they? When Jesus came, Israel had sold out. God established truth in Israel. Every one of those ceremonies and sacrifices pointed to this Messiah that was to come. And Jesus Christ came, and when he was born, they knew he was born. There was no mistake that Jesus was born, and they knew the very day, according to the book of Daniel, when he would walk in, or ride in, on the donkey into the book, into the city of Jerusalem, they know who he was. He was born in the right place, at the right time. He rode in the city. He went down to Egypt just like the prophecy said he would. He was drawn back out of Egypt. He was raised in Nazareth. The people in Nazareth knew who he was. And when he stood up one day and he said, "This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears," what did they do? He said, "Our Messiah has come." No. They wanted to kill him. Mm-hmm. They wanted to kill him. They did not accept the Messiah. They knew who he was, but they would not accept him. We used to have this false religious system that Jesus condemned. And that parable of the fig tree, when he came up there, there was leaves on that fig tree and no fruit. And when there's leaves on the fig tree, there's supposed to be fruit. Many fig trees have two crops of fruit a year. Our fig tree does out there. It's an old mission fig. It has two crops a year. And a fig tree that's got leaves on it should have fruit on it. Israel, when God came to Israel, she should have been bearing fruit, the fruit of the salvation of souls and the proselyting of the nations to bring them to God. But they were brought to a false religious system. Jesus said that a woman that took a whole lump and introduced leaven into it. What stops leaven from ruining a whole loaf of bread?
Heat.
Baking. Stops it. Or else it's all going to be. In God's Word today, Christendom has become so obscene that you don't even know what it is. Among all the masses of religious systems out there, and they say they're coming together and all this, and I believe that's the binding of the tares in the last days, and this false religious system here that becomes a one world religion. Everybody goes on to the same church house and the same building together. The binding of the tares in those last days. We see all of it today. We see it all coming together. We're living fulfilled prophecy in these days. Kind. Hale thing. Ace. Heck. Tone. Capta. Angelon. Tone. Ekonton, Tas, Hepta, Bias, Tai, Ilalason, Met, Imol, Lagon, Duro, Dexol, Soy, Tol, Crema, Pace, Cornace, Pace, Megalase, Pace, Kaphamanase, Epi, Hidaton, Cologne. Now let's go back and translate this rascal. That parable of the fig tree, Jesus cursed it and it died. And they were absolutely amazed at how quick it died. Judgment. It proves the existence of hell. It proves that God hates sin. That he will stop it someday and arrest it. And here he's arresting false religion, right here. And he came. And he came, one out of the seven angels. All right? One out of the seven angels. Look at that word angelon. See that word angels there? Angels. We get our word angels right out of the Greek, angelon. Okay? That's not a new word, is it? All right? And then the one having the seven bowls. What are these seven bowls that we're talking about here? The seven bowls of the bottled up anger of God. The bottled up anger of God. His wrath upon this false religious system. This has the tares have been bound, and now the fire is set. All right? And he spoke. Now, what does that word elalasim mean there? He spoke. That's third person singular, present indicative action. Comes from laleo.
Is that face-to-face kind of...
That's, it's speaking. Brother Don, do you remember this word, laleo? There's lego, laleo, erato, laleo. That's how you talk. Our word tongue or language comes from this word. Okay? It means that the angel spoke with a human language. All right? With a human language. He used his lips and teeth and the palate of his mouth, his tongue and throat and voice box. In other words, he spoke in human language. All right? The angel, the one having the seven bowls, he spoke. Now, these bowls are containers of some sort. He spoke with me, saying, come. I shall point out. Look at that word, dexo. That means I shall point out with an index finger. I will point out to you the krema, the judgment. All right? The judgment of the harlot. That word pornase there. That's what we got our word pornography from. Alright? Pace pornase. This word, you can use it for prostitute or harlot. You can use it for any sort of practiced evil. It means to love, to wallow in perverted things. God made a man and a woman to be attracted to each other. That's a physical fact. Okay? A woman and a man fit together, and God made them to be attracted to each other, and that's normal. But the boundaries of that sex, or whatever you want to call it, is marriage. From very early time, women and men have perverted the natural affection for each other and have sold it and marked and merchandised it. And that's evil. The word pornase, it means crooked. To make something that's straight, crooked. There's nothing... The Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled and holy before God. But whoredom is perverted and crooked. Crooked. And the harlot, the prostitute here that the Bible is talking about is religious whoredom. Religion. Crooked, false religion. Crooked, false religion. God told Israel, I called you out. God said he called out Israel to be his wife, didn't he? That's where you see repeated over and over in the Old Testament. But his virgin, his espoused virgin, became a harlot. And she said, you went whoring after all the gods of the ungodly pagans. When Israel was down into Egypt, guess what they picked up down there? Idolatry. 400 years of idolatry. God took them out there by the hands of Aaron and Moses. Aaron did all the miracles. Moses told him what to do. And right at the foot of the mountain where God was giving the law of God, the man that performed the miracles in Egypt built a golden calf. The man, Aaron, that stood there and made his rod become a snake, made a golden calf while his brother was up on the mountain receiving the commandments of God. And God had to destroy a whole bunch of them. Cold. Because they had crooked ways. Whoring ways. He said, you've gone whoring after other gods, strange gods. When Israel was in the land, remember the name Jezebel? When you think of the word Jezebel, what do you think of? Beauty?
Prostitution.
Prostitution, all right. Prostitute. That's exactly what her religion stood for. you say the word Jezebel, and you know, I think of a virgin set aside and waiting for her husband, keeping herself chaste. You think of the absolute opposite, don't you? But Israel was supposed to be that virgin, waiting for the marriage of her love, waiting for him to come. When was he supposed to come? Exactly when he said he would, according to the book of Daniel. And her lover came, her king, her mighty one, the one of Ancient of Days, came, and what did she do to her husband? She murdered him. What a woman. And God divorced her. And she will never be his wife again. And he espoused a new virgin in the age that we live in today. And people, members of New Testament churches throughout all the lands, are espoused virgins for the Lord. Keep yourself chaste and pure for him. Because he's your husband. He's your love. He's coming after us. We just heard the whistle blow the other day. Look up. What? I'm not kidding. When I heard about this stuff, I started looking in the sky. I started looking in the sky. The crooked one. The one that had the straight ways of God that God had given had made everything perverse and crooked. God established one rule of faith and practice. Jude told us in the book of Jude to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. The Lord established one system of teaching, one system of faith, and Satan established hundreds. Counterfeits, tares. When did he do it? He sold them at nighttime. He said also in the parable of the sower that some of the seed was sold by the wayside, and who picked up the seed and ate it up?
The birds.
And who are the birds?
Demons.
Devils of God. Devils of the God of this age right now that takes from the heart of man the truth of God and takes it away. And where did they roost? Not in the fig tree.
In the mustard tree.
In the mustard tree, they became a perverted monstrosity instead of an herb. You see how these parables go and teach a little bit of parables too. Well, yeah, but it's so much right here. How can I keep from it? The 17th chapter of Revelation. And the harlot, the great one, setting upon the waters many. What does waters represent? Many peoples. You know, Adam seeks to go astray. He chose to go astray from God, didn't he? He chose by choice to go astray. And mankind has always gone astray, the biggest majority of mankind. Look at that field there. Some of the seed was taken up, some of it was sown on rocky ground, and it was Cain-type religion. You know, they sprung up real fast and did a lot of things. Cain really thought he was doing great. He went out there and drew a great big crop and brought the crop to God. But salvation is not of works. Salvation is of a free gift. It is by grace you're saved. Jesus did all the works. 17 and 2. Meth. Pace. A pornesu son. Hoy. Basileus. Pace. Gaze, Kai, Emethus, Thason. Some of these words are pretty hard, but we'll get to them. Hoi, Kara, Kontes, Tain, Gain, Ek, Tu, Oinu, Thais, Porneos, Altais. And it says, with whom they practiced fornicating. This prostitute. Now who's this judgment coming upon? The ones that practiced immorality, spiritual fornication with this prostitute. Now who are they? Hoi Basileus. The kings, the rulers of this earth. The rulers of this earth. of the earth. God teaches us in His Word to be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good, to tell you the truth. He does. He teaches us to think, put our minds on the things above. To not put our money in things that can corrupt or the stock markets that can fall out of sight. Well, this is Brother Don, am I telling the truth? It says, put your money, put your love in a place where it can't be corrupted. And these kings have corrupted everything here. Kings of Malaria. And then it says, and they have become Matthew. That's the word. That's where it comes from, the root of the word. It's Amethyson. It's third person plural. First aorist. Okay? Third person plural is who? Let's get a little grammar in here, too. First, second, third. First person singular is what?
I.
Second person?
You.
Third person? He,
she,
a she, or an it. Okay. And then the singular. Okay, here's plural over here. First person plural is who?
We.
All right. Second person plural?
Ye.
All right, there's really such a word as ye. All right, or you all, if you're from Oklahoma. All right. And then third person plural is what?
They.
That's really easy. See there, here. Maybe you learned a little grammar tonight. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. Let's look at this one. All right? And they, and then it says first aorist. An aorist tense is a tense of a verb in Greek. The word for tense in Greek for a verb tense, is chronos. What does chronos tell you in Greek?
Time.
How did this the action of this verb take place? First aorist. Just forget the first aorist because I don't mean a whole lot. But what is the aorist tense? You know what aorist tense means?
Punctiliar action.
At a point of time, this happened. Some point of time in history, this happened. Okay? Or in even, you can almost have the boy choked today. He choked today, sometime or another. It took place. Something happened. It's an action that was punctiliar, all right? And it's indicative. What's the indicative mode say in Greek? Indicative mode. The indicative mode. Indicative mode. We're not talking about person now. Or, okay? Indicative mode means a flat statement of fact. Well, indicative. When you say that's indicative of what's going on, that means that's true. All right. The indicative mode means it's a statement of fact. It's true. All right. If it's got in the subjunctive mode, what's that? That's a maybe.
Possible.
All right. But here we have the indicative mode. This happens. And it's passive voice. Voice is one you were looking for, Brother Don. Passive voice. It happened to them. Something caused this to happen to them. What did the whore do to these people? She got them drunk. This word, Matthew. How many of you women have ever heard of an amethyst? A stone called an amethyst. You know what the word amethyst means? Not drunk. That's all it means. Not drunk. It's a Greek word. Amethyst means not drunk. People used to take an amethyst stone if they were a drunk and alcoholic and hanging around their neck and hope that they wouldn't get drunk and wouldn't be drawn to the power of the drink. That's what you call amethyst. And it was an amulet that put around her neck. That's what the stone amethyst means, not drunk. Well, these people didn't have amethyst stones around their neck. They didn't have Jesus in their heart, okay? That's the best amethyst stone. All right. And they became drunk. I told you you'd learn some English from this and where your English words come from. And they became drunk. They were caused to become drunk by the power of the satanic influence, the Adamic influence of Satan in their lives. The drawing factor. You know when an alcoholic goes to bed at night, you know what he's thinking of? The drink. He wants to get drunk enough to put him to sleep. When he wakes up in the morning, he thinks about his wife and his children and his breakfast and going to work. What's he thinking about? Where am I going to get the next thing? The power, the influence of the bottle. Jesus said in his words, he said, I want you to be like drunks. I want you to be controlled by the Spirit like the drunk is by the wine, or by wine bottle. These people were controlled by the influence of Satan. They were drunk. They were made drunk. They were made addicts of this woman's power and ungodliness. They reveled in the religion. You know what the religion of the flesh does? You got to have a God you can see. Thrice. The religion of the world, you've got to see the God that you worship, because you can't do it by faith. You got to see it. And you've got to have a religion you can feel.
I have to give you everything you want.
That's right.
Show us the flesh.
The signs of the flesh. All right? Religion of the flesh. And they became drunk. They became under the influence. The ones, it says down upon him, kata and oiko here. Kata means down. That's a Greek word that means down. And oiko is house, down home. The ones dwelling upon the earth. All right? And by the way, this is a nominative plural masculine. In Greek, there are 8 cases in nouns. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. There's 8 cases. And all of them, I'm not trying to flabbergast you. All I'm telling you is that Greek is a perfect language. God couldn't have put the New Testament in a more perfect language, because it tells you exactly what part of the is. Even a definite article in Greek, and there, by the way, there's no such thing as indefinite article in Greek. But even the articles, the thes in Greek, are inflected. And it tells you what among those 8 cases it plays. And all of the verbs are inflected. Totally. And it tells you what part of the sentence they play. And that's why I'm telling you a little bit of this. Now, these are the subjects, the nominatives here, and they're plural. All right, this is the... are under her influence. All right, these are the ones acting, the ones dwelling, nominative, plural, masculine, and basically, in English even, before we have the modern age, if you said he, what your child, he went to school, that word he there meant what? That he, it was a generic term that meant child, girl, or boy. All right? And that's basically what it does here. It just means generically, these actors were fornicating with this woman, this false religious system. And it's present tense. It's a present participle and active. Present participle active. Present means what? Right now. Participle. What kind of a thing is that? And grammatically,
it's
not really a verb, but it's like a verb. It's a marriage between a noun and a verb, because you've got the attributes of a noun here and of a verb too. All right, we got present tense and we got a participle, and that means some continuous and tied by action. Some just keeps rolling on, like you take a bowling ball at the top of Mount Everest and let her go down. Just keeps rolling on. Get a big snowball and rolling on. That's the continuing thing. All right? It's nominative, plural, masculine, present, participle, and active. Now, Brother Don, what's this active voice? That's the subject doing the active. Who kept on fornicating? They did. All right? Who? By whose volition? Their very own. All right? They kept on wanting to do that. Now, let's look and see what's happened theologically right now. Here is the whore and all of her children that are about to be judged in the book of Revelation. All right? They have been encompassed. The churches and all the saints are taken up out of the world. And the reason why, now the churches of this age, we are the ones that's supposed to be preaching the gospel. Nobody else is responsible to do it. All right? We are the administrators in God's kingdom and His kingdom today, to preach the gospel. But when we're taken up, then God does what? Angels preach the gospel, the everlasting gospel, it says, from heaven. Then we have 2 witnesses down on the earth, whoever these 2 dudes are. Moses, Elijah, Enoch, whoever, Daniel, John, I don't even take your choice, all right? Pick ever which one you like best, all right? Whoever those two witnesses are, they stand up and they witness the Word of God on this earth, and guess what happens to them? This false religious system kills them. All right? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, He had a bride. That was Israel. In the New Testament, He has a bride, which is called the church. It's so fitting that if the Lord has a bride, that Satan would have a bride. Wouldn't he? And guess who his bride is? False religious system. And every good husband will take care of his bride and die for her. But what does Satan do to his bride? He kills her. Murders her. Boy, here we have contrast. In false religion, in the world, going way back in time, we have a prophecy in the third chapter of Genesis that the seed of a woman would be in conflict with the seed of Satan. But the seed of the woman would overcome the seed of Satan in finality, but he would suffer loss in doing that. It was a prophecy of what? Jesus to come. Guess what was going on in the false religious systems of the world? Copycat. Satan is a copycat. We have the Queen of Heaven that was supposedly lived back at that period of time. She even had a name, and she had her son by a... She was a virgin. It's by virgin birth she brought forth this son called Amos. And then he was killed and murdered, but after 3 days he rose. Copycats. Satan knew the gospel. He knew the truth that was to come. And they worshipped him. And they worshipped his mother, the Queen of Heaven. They were baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven during the time of Israel. And God told Israel, don't you have anything to do with these people. As a matter of fact, he so hated those people that he said, when you go into Canaan land, which Canaan was a descendant of whom? Noah's son, Ham. And he was cursed, wasn't he? He would be a servant, all right, to Shem. That was prophecy of what would happen. In Canaan land, Israel was supposed to go in and take over Canaan land, and God says what to do, what to the inhabitants of this land. Kill every one of them, man, woman, and child, even their dogs and their cats, and their sheep and their cows and their goats. All of them. Kill it all. Because it was contaminated. It was what we call a spiritual... What do you do when somebody gets sick in a home and they quarantine? Spiritual quarantine. Alright? God demanded it of us. The one's down homing upon the birth and out of the wine of the fornication of her. She was drunk and the whole world was kept drunk by the wine of her fornication. In Israel's time, a young girl was supposed to be a virgin when she was married. And a young man should have done been the same one. All right? And God has always known that in marriage, sex is holy, and that's the way God made it. He invented it, by the way. But He did. But it's made in that point. A woman is made for a man. God created man. He created man not from the dust of the ground, but as the dust of the ground. He did. That's what it says in Hebrew. God created man as He created the dust of the ground. And He breathed into him the breathings of lives. That's what it says from Hebrew. The breathings of lives, your life, your being, your essential beginning was in Adam at that time. Then it says that God put Adam to sleep and He took from his sides woman. So Adam was one being, then He divided him And he took this out of man, this woman, and then he put them back together. He divided them, then he put them back together in marriage, and they became one again. We have this one being. Do you see how holy that marriage between a woman and a man is? They become one being again that they originally were in Adam. Alright? That's the way things are supposed to be. But man always makes things crooked and unholy. Even man's ungodly religions. Salvation is by grace. It says in Ephesians 2 and 8, and I'll tell you this from the original language. For in grace ye are having been saved. Through faith, it says. Through by the agency of faith. And that faith is not out of you. Here you have lost humanity. That's lost and separated from God. Totally hereditarily depraved, okay? Bent on doing evil. Who gets you? Who calls you to Himself? God does the calling. Who gives you the faith to believe? God gives you the faith to believe. Believe in what? His finished work. His finished work. Not yours. This is the false religious system that He's damning, that He's judging right now. And it's all a religion of works and things and cathedrals and outward show. Not anything from within. When you're born again, you're born from above. That's what it says, born from above. First time you're born, you're born from Adam. Aren't you? From the earth, from Adam. Adam means earth. She was made like the earth and to become earth. Alright? People got that mixed up a long time ago in the translation. He made the earth as God created the earth from the same elements. From the same way. And where did the elements come from? Alright, God. God created man, a primary creation of God. God created man and man came from God. Woman came from man, not from God. Secondary creation. Out of Him, now you put them back together in marriage. But He created man to become earth when he died. That's prophecy again. Prophecy again. That dirt in you, that Adamic dirt in you, makes you want to sin. It's your nature. The whole 1,000-year reign of Christ is to prove one thing, that man is a sinner by nature. For 1,000 years there will be no hellish, no satanic influence upon the earth, but at the end of that time, Satan will be released, and he'll go out and gather a great multitude for his army against God. And there has been no satanic influence for 1,000 years, and man is going to go astray anyway. If you can figure that one out. That's the way it is. That's the flesh. That's the flesh we live in. Thank you for your attention tonight. And glad to have you here. Come back next week. I'll try to give you a little more. See, the Greek didn't scare you too much, did it? Because we're doing more than just teaching Greek. We're teaching eschatology here. And Greek, and all of it all at the same time. If you hang around long enough, you'll learn this Greek. And you'll learn to read it. You'll be able to look up these words yourself. We'll cover it now and then. But this is so exciting right now, I just couldn't hardly just go into Greek only. Brother Don, it's good to have you here again in the class. And good to have you too. And Mark and Jim, he's been coming in here from the very beginning. 6 years of it, I think, Pastor. And he's smarter than I am.
He's your substitute for the next
30
years. When you have a day off.
Yeah. I asked Brother Ken to substitute for me here a while back. He's dying.
I mean, my kids walk around in my shoes.
God bless each and every one of you with His Word today. And thank you for your attention and for your endurance of sitting here in this cramped room. And it's not the best air conditioning in here. And as Brother back here, thank you for coming tonight. You're from L.A. You just moved down here. Brother, could you just dismiss us in prayer, please?
Sure. Thank you, God, for this word of yours. Thank you for your servant, our teacher. We ask you, Lord, to fill him with your Holy Spirit all the time so that he can teach us your word the way that is written, oh God. And then in Jesus, we ask for your blessings now that we go home or that we go through our things that we have to do tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.